We're talking about the Senate and some of the failures there. Ira Shapiro joining us now, author of Broken, Can the Senate Save Itself in the Country? Hey, Ira, how are you?
I'm good, Doc. How are you?
Doing well. So I guess the question right off is, can the Senate save itself in the country?
Well, the jury's still out on it, Doc.
Okay, all right.
I'm waiting to see two things, at least two things. One is how ultimately the Senate weighs in on health care,
okay,
which we've gone through all this year. And the second is the outcome of the Senate investigation on Russia. I throw in tax reform, too, but those were the first two things that are essential to figuring out whether the Senate will step up to its responsibilities.
What do you think its main failures are right now?
Well, I think over a long period of time, the Senate has declined, and it's become a reflection of our divided politics. Obviously, we've got a divided nation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Senate's special role was always to get beyond partisanship and to bring together people who came from different parties, came from different regions. It was the place Mondale once called the nation's mediator, where things got worked out. We've lost that, and they've come to simply reflect the divided tribal politics that we have. So I'm looking for people that approach the job the way senators used to approach it, which is frankly what John McCain has said over the years, or tried to say, country first.
Yeah, my problem with that is, and I'm fine with looking for the common ground, and I know they are dividing us. I believe that a lot of people are purposely dividing us because it benefits them. But what I don't like is when they worked things out where it was selling out principles and values. There's enough common grounds where they don't really have to venture into areas that are so divisive.
Well, looking at the debate over a long period of time, there are some issues we've been debating for 40 or 50 years, and they won't find common ground,
mm-hmm.
and they shouldn't, like abortion. It's not going to happen. But are we really incapable of working out an infrastructure bill? Are we incapable of figuring out a decent tax reform or dealing with the health care problems? I mean, there's a whole range of issues where total partisanship has diminished our ability to work things out. And I think, personally, I've said in my book, the long decline got much steeper in the last 10 years or so. I think Senators Reid and McConnell have been an absolute catastrophe for the Senate, although not equal.
Yeah, I agree. They have been catastrophes there, and they've certainly played the party game. Infrastructure bill, I'm troubled by that because the last couple of infrastructure bills were not actually used for infrastructure. It was a lot of slush money paybacks, and I think you would get rid of some of the divide. People like me that are saying, no, I want things to stop because it's better than the disasters they've put forward in recent years. If they could stop this, even get a handle on it, just tamp down a little bit of the slush funds, the misspending, the corruption. If they could do that, I'd say, all right, we can try some stuff, but I'd rather have gridlock at this point.
Well, look, I basically disagree with that. I think your viewpoint is a consistent one, and the people that don't want government to do anything will be very happy with the current Congress and the current Senate. I think you learn from the lessons of the infrastructure problems that you've had. If there has been corruption, you know, you try to correct for it. But right now, Doc, we've got infrastructure failing all over the country, and bridges, roads, I mean, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a consequence, if you're going to say we can't do anything about it, you're essentially heading for a breakdown in the infrastructure, and that's not an acceptable solution. I mean, there's two basic, if we all agree the government isn't succeeding, so there's two basic approaches. One is, well, that's great because they shouldn't succeed, and it's much better if they do nothing. That's not my approach. I think they have to do better.
Yeah, I am. Just to be clear, I'm not happy with Congress. Don't misunderstand.
No, I
like
not.
The whatever.
I know you're not.
Yeah. And I think the way you get people like me to the table for an infrastructure discussion, of course we've got to fund certain things. And infrastructure is one of those responsibilities or one of the things the government is responsible for. But if you want to get somebody like me to the table, you have to first show me how you're going to fix the failures of the past when it comes to that stuff. And the corruption and waste is, I mean, the last couple, the stimulus bill was supposed to be largely infrastructure, and it was not. There were the huge solar companies that were bailed out and went or given money and then went bankrupt. The graft and money that was set aside for slush funds for certain friends of people was hugely wasted.
Well, I think there were some problems with the last stimulus bill. I think the main problem with the last stimulus bill was that the Republicans totally opposed it and reduced the size of it. If Senator McConnell and the Republicans had had their way on that on that stimulus bill, we'd still be in the Great Recession.
Oh, I disagree about that. I do not believe the stimulus got us out of that. That is absolutely a fail. In fact, the history has taught us over the years that spending does not get you out. It's cutting and balancing that gets you out of the long term. I mean, leading up to the 1920s, the recession that could have been a Great Depression gets us out of that. But as far as coming to the table with other things that we could be working on, healthcare reform, there's enough common ground with that stuff. I'll tell you where there's common ground, Ira. There's common ground. Most Americans, when you look at statistics, show that they believed in a balanced budget. How come they're not working out a balanced budget amendment? Most Americans believe in term limits now for members of Congress, both Senate and House. How come they're not working on that?
Well, first of all, if we're going to quote what most Americans believe by 79%, 86%, 91%, depending on the study, that the two parties should come to the table and work things out. They believe that the government should do something, some things, as you've said, and they don't believe that failing government is acceptable. In terms of balanced budgets, you know, everyone has their polls. One thing I wouldn't be doing right now is a $1.5 trillion tax cut or tax reform, as it is supposedly called, because I think that, you know, that's going to lock us into deficits that are, you know, unsustainable and, you know, threatening to the future.
But that's a different argument.
Well, it's a different argument in the sense. It's a different argument, but my basic argument, Doc, is a process argument. I think that I'd like to see the process, what we used to call in the Senate regular order, work. I think that's what brings people to the table. The notion that you actually can't, we don't have one-man rule, Trump. We don't have one-party rule. We have the two parties trying to figure something out together because you actually can't ram something through all by yourself.
Do you also think we had one party rule with President Obama?
Well, if you read Senator McConnell's very fascinating memoir that he put out in 2016, he makes it quite clear that President Obama on health care, the most visible of those issues, makes it quite clear that President Obama reached out to the Republicans who are active on health care. And he makes it quite clear that he did everything he could to ensure they wouldn't cooperate with him. After that, what happened was Obama and the Democrats did move on a one-party basis. But that was after endless hearings, numerous markups, lots of amendments, something that resembled regular order. If you can tell me why this tax bill has to be done in the next 12 days, legislative days, as opposed to, say, the first 3 months of next year, I'd be interested in why that's happening.
Well, clearly they're trying to push that through for political reasons. They want to win before the end of the year. Right. They can say it's on the next year's tax code, but I'm fine with delaying that in order to do it right. But something has to be done. I disagree about the Obama thing because they started with the premise that we are definitely going to do something that is reprehensible to a lot of people in America and a good portion of the House and Senate. So to say we're going to do this, but we'll go ahead and hear you out on this stuff, I think that's fail. I think to say Trump is one party rule is a fail just because if he was or one person rule. Because if that were true, he would have actually accomplished something by now. He can't even find a consensus in his own party to get things done.
Well, Doc, I think when I said one-man rule, I think he has accomplished certain things, most of which I regard as completely destructive.
Like what?
I believe that abandoning the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement was wrong for the country. And I believe that taking us out of the Paris climate talks was wrong. At that point, he had aligned us in the world with Syria and Nicaragua.
Oh, you know, wait, Ira, that's to bring that up is salacious. All you're doing is trying to make it sound like we're like Syria, and it's have something to do with that doesn't have anything to do with their structure, their infrastructure, their government, terrorism, anything like that. It has to do with climate change.
What I was going to say is we were part of 192 countries working on something together. And he decided, one man rule, that we would no longer be in that agreement. I think that was a mistake. I think the history of this period will be written, and it'll be written about Donald Trump. My book is about something else, although it goes into the first 9 months of the Trump presidency. My book is about the long-term decline of the Senate and the decline of the Senate being important because it's fundamentally the balance wheel in the system. If the Senate doesn't work, then we get what we've got, which is a government that can't function.
The history of the Senate, though, the Senate's role initially was to be a spokesperson, a spokesgroup for the states. Not for the people, not to be the part of the government where they work things out or the legislative house that works things out. It was to speak for the states. I wish we would go back to that, to get rid of the 17th Amendment, and senators would know you're not supposed to take this grand view of where you believe the country should go. Instead, it should be defending the states and the states' rights so the government doesn't steamroll them and offer mandates.
Well, I think you're stating the history and the origins correctly. But over time, the Senate evolved in a way that the senators still do speak for the states. I mean, if you talk to the senators from, you know, Oregon on the one hand or Mississippi on the other hand, they have different views that are not only political but are based in the interest of their states. They still do represent their states very vigorously. But they also have national responsibilities, and the best senators have always been able to balance those things.
So if that's the case, if they have the national responsibilities, what's the purpose of having a bicameral legislator? Couldn't we be more efficient if we only had one?
No. No is the answer, but I would also say that efficiency, and you would appreciate this, I mean, efficiency wasn't the goal. Efficiency, the government was supposed to work slowly and painstakingly and, you know, unpredictably to some extent, simply because the founders feared government overreach. And so we still have a government that, when it works, works very, you know, rather slowly. So, but the notion that we can't do anything for years at a time on major issues is not acceptable for our country.
All right, the book is Broken. Can the Senate Save Itself and the Country? The author is Ira Shapiro. Ira, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and tweet out a link to it so people can find the book and check it out for themselves.
Doc, thanks for the opportunity, and I appreciate the conversation.
Absolutely, Ira. Thanks so much. Ira Shapiro, Broken. Can the Senate Save Itself and the Country?